We're in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. In the previous lessons, the apostle spoke of the duty of overseers, shepherds, teachers, teacher elders is what it means, pastors, whatever terms you want to use. It's those who expound on the word of God. It's those who are in authority in the gatherings is who it's referring to. And the duty of them was to teach sound, godly teaching. So he spent time in the first part of the chapter explaining who was qualified to teach in the gatherings and then what they were to teach. So this is what we see. The next chapter, which we'll get in a minute, verse 1 is a continuation of these last few verses. So I'm going to spend a little more time back in them to complete what it's talking about. So we see those two things refute 99% of all professing Christian ministries. They are not qualified and they're not teaching sound doctrine. That ends it right there. That can tell you very well who is in the faith and who is not. The spiritual, those who mature in the Lord, judge all things. We're able to discern these things. When people say, well, we can't judge that, we most certainly can. If you're mature, you can judge what a person speaks, what comes out of their mouth, and you can discern what the motivation behind this if it's not sound doctrine. That's why a person is to labor in the word and be mature. He'll be able to spot this. The majority out there are false. They are false teachers confirming false teachings. And so this is the danger if you do not have someone who is mature in the Lord. Maturity is in action, is in lifestyle. It's not merely information. Most people who know scripture know lots of scripture, but many of them are not even saved. They're not born again. But they can quote scripture, and they can debate scripture to a great degree. The Pharisees could do this with the law, but that is no proof of their spirituality. A large church, numbers, popularity has nothing to do with being spiritual. See, today the world has taken over what we would call the church. It runs the church. And who runs the church in the world? The devil. That's what's behind this. So he is not going to promote sound teaching. He's going to promote watered down gospel. He's going to promote a new age. He's going to promote tolerance for evil and sin and not dealing with those in corruption. That is the work of the devil. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. So to refute, to misuse the law of Moses, and they were captivated with this. These Jews were still trying to convince Gentile believers that they had to come under the law. They had to come under the law of Moses, and this was the very thing that Paul had no tolerance for. This is why he brought the matter before the Jerusalem church. Jews could observe the law. They could keep the ceremonies, the rituals. James bragged about this to Paul when he said, there are many priests and many Jews who have come to the Lord and are zealous of the law. See, he didn't have no problem with that. But he understood they were not justified by the law. They were not made righteous by keeping ritual and ceremony. But him and Peter and the chief elders and apostles said, this is not for the Gentiles. We are not to put this burden on them. The apostle Peter said, we nor our fathers could bear all of that. And they weren't intended to. They were rules and regulations, and God made many provisions for their failures. That's why they had sacrifice. That's why there were certain consequences for various things to show them their imperfection, to show them their need of the blood and deliverance, that they could not serve the Lord in the flesh, and they had to keep certain rules, and they were capable of doing this. Remember, they did not have the Spirit indwelling them. in a sense that we know they were not born again. But we could say they were saved under their covenant by keeping the rules and regulations, the outward things. God dealt more with their outward actions than their inward actions. The Christian, the Lord, deals with motive and intent. So Jesus basically stated, you can be a fornicator and adulterer in your heart without committing the deed. Under the law, they were not basically judged for that. The Lord said he winked at it. It was when they manifested a sin, a gross sin, that they were brought to judgment. But see, the Christian has the ability, the power and the spirit, and the renewed mind not to do these things and to have power over them. And to a great degree, they did not in the weaker covenant. But God judged them and dealt with them accordingly. Judges deals with people according to their conscience. Those who've not heard the gospel, he lets nature reveal things. He deals through them through their conscience. So he deals them at a lower level. But once the gospel comes, God calls all men to repent. They cannot go back to the lesser covenant once the light has come. So that was the purpose of Paul going to the synagogues throughout the Roman world, 2 or 3 Sabbaths, to give them the gospel of Christ, where the elders and Sanhedrin and Pharisees in Jerusalem had rejected it. He wanted them to have opportunity. They were not a part of that system. They lived apart from it. They had various rules and regulations in their synagogue. So he went to proclaim that, and he got converts. But the ones who rejected what he gave them were not righteous by the law anymore, see? They forfeited their standing. Same as Cornelius, the first of the Gentiles. He was a righteous man according to his conscience and by the angel, and yet he was not a Jewish convert. He was a Gentile, and yet the angel said, I've come to you because of a memorial of the good works and things you've done. So see, God did honor that. Actions did mean something to God. And then he was given the gospel. He and those around him, they were saved and filled with the Spirit. But see, once it was given to him, if he rejected it and he didn't accept it, he would not be righteous before the Lord anymore. So see, God deals with light, truth, what a person's been given. And when they're given more, they cannot go back. Therefore, as I say so many times, there are no baby Christians after 20 or 25 years. They got the wrong gospel, or they fall away. That's the only plan there, see, because God has no retarded children spiritually. He has no, they have to progress. That's why he said they have to bear fruit. They have to go on, and they will if they drink the milk of the word, and if they obey it, then they will grow spiritually, or they will grow in grace and the true knowledge, not knowing about, but the relationship knowledge with Jesus that only comes by being obedient and led of his Spirit. And their teachings must be rightly handling the word of God, those who do teach. That means not to misuse it. I've heard many people over the years, because we live in a dark time when most professing Christians and theologians and teachers are really not Christians, not according to apostolic teaching. I've heard people say, well, I only feel led to give a positive word. Then you're given a false gospel. See, piecemeal in the gospel is not giving the gospel. Telling people how to get born again with 3 scriptures is not teaching the gospel. It's false gospel. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything I told you. He didn't say give them 4 scriptures. Oh, at least you got them saved. No, you don't. See, that's the heresy of once saved, always saved, and ultra-Calvinism. Get them to say something and they're sealed forever. That's a doctrine of demons. You have entered the race. You have entered the warfare when you come to the Lord. You've not finished it. You've just gotten on the right path, and you have to continue. 4 times in the epistles, or the New Testament, says my just one will live by faith. Didn't say he'll be saved by faith one time and that's it. You don't have to worry anymore. Says my just one will live. It's a continuous lifestyle of abiding, continuing in Christ and his word. And the person that ceases to do that will be cut off from the grace of God. They will be cut off from the body of Christ. So we need to give people the truth and refute the lying teachers who are giving false assurances to many people who aren't really even saved, haven't committed themselves to follow the Lord. They've just said some little prayer and they mentally believe that Jesus is Son of God. That will not save anybody because it's not the whole gospel. See, 2 and 3 scriptures is not the whole gospel. Okay. Sound scripture always leads to practical holiness. It always leads to godliness in the present life. That is the purpose of it. Any kind of teaching of grace and faith that encourages sin, that licenses sin, that excuses sin, is from the devil. Because the grace that saves us, the scripture says, teaches us how to live godly. If it doesn't do that, then it's false grace. It's false faith. And we've got a lot of that out there, okay? So it's for the present life, sound doctrine. Because if we don't live godly and holy in the present life, we will not make it to the next life, regardless of what the heretics tell people. So, as we spoke in previous lessons, we need to understand the Word of God. It's worth repeating. People need to read it often, and then they would see much of what they've been hearing is not very sound. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scripture. This means anything of the apostolic teaching. It means that under the law, the prophets, they were fulfilled, but most and all, we can say, of the moral qualifications still stand. You can't be a murderer, a liar, a cheat, a stealing person. You can't be an idolater, a covetous person under the old covenant, nor can you in the new. See, there has to be a moral standard. The difference is we're delivered from ritual and ceremony. We're delivered from many things that we didn't have the power because we had not the indwelling spirit. But now we do. And so he requires something from us. But all scripture, even the old, Paul said, he gave examples of what happened to the Jews under Moses and how God at times destroyed many of the people. He said, these things are written for you that you'll learn not to lust after evil things. Because if you lust after evil things, you'll get the same consequences, God's judgment on you. See, that's why it's an example. So that's why we need the old to give us examples and principles, and we bring this in to the new covenant. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The old was inspired by prophets and Moses was more than a prophet. He wrote the law, gave the law, basically, that was given to him. And so the New Testament, it's the apostolic teachers. They are prophets. And so what they have written and given is scripture, as Peter called Paul's writing scripture. Isn't it interesting? Called his writing scripture. Okay. It's given. It means inspired by God, and it is profitable. Oh, the prosperity people love this one. The profitability here is in the spiritual state, not in the materialistic, as these covetous people teach, these lying shepherds, okay? It's profitable. For what? How is it profitable? For teaching. That's what doctrine means. It's profitable to give sound teaching. That's what it's for. For reproving. Most of the prophets spent a lot of times reproving and correcting, setting people straight that fall into error. That's what it meant. For correction, that goes with it. You reprove by correcting and giving sound teaching, or telling people what they're doing wrong, or how they're being led astray. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. The ultra-Calvinistic and once saved, always saved people don't like the scripture. See, they say, well, we are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Only if it's working. See, it's not one-sided. It's not all grace. It tells us how to live righteously, how to bear fruit, how to be obedient, how to produce good works, and that's what's required to get into heaven. See, that's the faith that is continual. Faith and obedience go together. Belief and fruitfulness go together. See, people try to separate them because it's false what they're doing. That excuses them and puts it all on God. And it basically applies God gives Christians a license to sin, which is a doctrine of demon. And what is the scripture given for to do these things? There's a purpose in it. That the man of God may be complete. Mature is what it means. He wishes him to be mature, able to rightly handle the word of God, able to expound on it when necessary, able to be led of the Spirit. Novices and babes cannot really be led of the Spirit as far as ministry is concerned. And therefore, it's dangerous to put them in these positions because they can't function in it. See, they're not mature enough to do it. They've not been trained. They don't know sound doctrine well enough. And we do more damage because it lifts them up in their pride and then God has to come against it. See? So what is he saying? That the man of God will be complete, fully equipped for what? Every good work. The once-saved people don't like that. The grace and faith people don't like that because they're of the devil. That's why they don't like it. So all of the sound teaching is meant that when we live and minister, we produce good works. See, that's why James could say faith without works is dead. He said, I'm not interested in your mental confession of Jesus. I'm not interested in what you believe about scripture. I want to see it working. Put it into action, then I'll know you got the goods. See? And that's what scripture teaches. It's active. It's not passive. So it's profitable in spiritual things for sound teaching, for reproving, correcting, instructions, clearly explaining how to live righteous and holy here in this present life. That's what scripture is for. If it doesn't do that, it's useless and you might as well throw it away. If teachers and ministers are not teaching this, it's because they're false. Or they're ignorant novices that have no business in the position they're in. They're not qualified. And as James says, not many of you should be teachers. He immediately said that. After three times, he said, you're foolish if you believe that faith without works can exist. He said it couldn't. He called them fools. And then immediately after that is when he said, not many of you should be teachers. Why? Because you're teaching this nonsense. You're teaching you can have grace and faith with no lifestyle, no fruit, no works, no actions. Isn't that what most of the heretics are teaching? That's what most of the once saved, always saved people are teaching. It's all grace and faith. Nothing else matters. They go find out it mattered when they cast into the lake of fire. So anything that strays from this understanding of sound teaching, it is false and it has no spiritual use. All knowledge, mental assent, information of scripture that does not promote holiness and practical duty to Christ is false. And that's the majority of what's out there. All scriptural teaching must lead to fruit bearing, to obedience and good works. They're interchangeable in the Christian life, or it is useless and vain. So where James would say faith without works is dead, Paul would say grace without obedience to righteousness is useless. It has no part. See? They were in perfect harmony if you rightly handle them and don't do what the heretics do and try to pit them against each other. The only way you can do that, and the only reason, is to promote heresy. There's no other reason. It promotes heresy, okay? So we see then in 1:16, let's read it again. They profess to know God, but by their deeds, their works, their actions, they deny him. Being detestable, an abomination, and disobedient and worthless for any good work. Isn't that interesting? Deeds and works, Paul speaks much of. People always run to that one scripture that James says that we're justified by works. Oh, they try to dance around that one to the extent that Luther and those said that these epistles were not of scripture. I didn't write it. Is he such a great reformer? He was nothing but a reformed Catholic who answered heresy with heresy. As I've said before, when he translated the German Bible, he put Hebrews, James, Jude, and the book of Revelations at the end and explained he didn't believe they should be scripture. Why? Because those are the ones that refute greasy grace and saved by faith alone. See, because it's not in scripture. So you can see the heresies. So we got millions upon people, Catholics and Lutherans. Of course, I have to give the Lutherans some credit. Many of them didn't believe Luther on that. They disagreed with him. But he believed it. So I have to say he answered heresy with heresies. I don't have to accept anything Luther said or anybody. The Apostle John was the last spiritual father and apostle. Anybody after him is irrelevant if they don't teach and preach sound doctrine and what's already been written. And what has been written by apostolic teaching judges all things. And so this is what we need to understand. Okay. So we see verse 16. We dwell on it because in the next verse of chapter 1, he's continuing in this thought here. Good teaching and good works. See? I like to use this because it upsets the heretic. Good works, good deeds, good actions is the only thing that proves you have grace and faith. See, they don't like that. Well, it's because they're heretics. It's because they're ministers of the devil. They're not ministers of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks at least five times or so in Titus of good works. Isn't that interesting? He speaks much on that, more so than he does on faith. See? They wanted to see the fruit of this. That's why Jesus, when he taught all the parables, he asked his disciples, do you understand what I'm telling you? And they all nodded. He said, yes. He said, well, you're blessed if you do it. He didn't say you're blessed because you believe it. And then he gives the great illustration. If you hear God's word and don't practice it, don't work it out, don't obey it, you're building on sand, and your spiritual fall will be great. He made it very plain. Not enough to hear the word. It's not enough to mentally assent to it. You have to do it. You have to practice it. So Paul, at least five times, mentions good works, good deeds. And that's the outcome of sound teaching. That's the outcome of being a true Christian. It's the outcome of those who enter into maturity, okay? So belief and faith must produce good works. Good works sums up fruitfulness, the life of Christ in us, obedience to the Lord. Faith does not sum that up, see? Faith begins it. Faith tells us, oh, and then it gets help. Faith has hope in it. Faith has obedience, or it's not real faith. It cannot be divided. When people try to separate it, as we said, they're wrong. They try to separate. They have to rightly apply it. False teachers do not. So the Spirit in us, and we are taught by the Word of God. The good works is to produce ministry and duty. It's the practical outworking of good works, of good actions, of good fruits. That's what true sound Christianity is. So now we've narrowed the field greatly, have we not? Galatians chapter 5, Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails you anything. He's talking about outward ritual, since it doesn't produce anything spiritual. But what does, he tells us, faith working through love. That's what produces something spiritually. Outward religion, ceremony, ritual is no proof of Christianity. Being baptized in water, taking communion, giving money, and going to a building 2 and 3 times a week proves nothing. The majority of people who do this are on the way to hell. 1.5 billion or so are doing this, and they're headed for the lake of fire. See? Because they've not done or completed what the scripture says. Their faith has no works. Their lifestyle serving the Lord does not bear fruit. Each one of them refute them, but they're in a system. See, today, the so-called church system is no different than the Pharisaical system. It was run by false priests and false Pharisees who Jesus said their father was the devil. Today, most of the professing churches, we could say are Sardis and Laodicea. Sardis was very active, very busy. The mega churches, the big denominations doing all kinds of stuff in the world, doing some humanitarian things, doing some good intentions. But what was Jesus' evaluation? You have a name, you're alive, but you're dead. You're not Christians. That's what he said to him. And Laodicea is more fascinating. He stands outside knocking on the door. See, they once had a lampstand. It meant they were once viable churches as a whole. And now he's telling Laodicea, you're not. I'm outside giving you an opportunity to let me back in. He's outside what was called his church. The lampstand had been removed, basically. There were always individuals who stayed with the Lord. But as a group, as a gathering, he tells us what he thinks about them. And that's about where we're at now. Most professing denominational churches, Christ is not in them. He does not have a lampstand. He may deal with individuals and those who've come to the Lord, but they're not a viable spiritual church as far as Christ is concerned, because they don't have sound ministers that teach sound teaching, that follow the Lord and are led of the Spirit. That's it. So faith, trust, obedience, and being led of Christ is a worker of good deeds. That's the person. That's what they do. It does it by what? He said love. Without sound faith, good works and fruits must be done by love. It has to be done by the Spirit's help. So you notice he connects them though. He would be right along with when James says faith without works is dead, and then what does Paul say? Faith works. See, I don't know why they're afraid of that. Faith works. If it doesn't work, it's not faith. It's mental assent gospel. It's a belief that has no obedience. That's why James said, you say you believe and you don't practice helping the brothers in Christ in need. He said, can that kind of Christianity save you? And it was rhetorical. He was saying, no, it can't. See, you have the mental assent. You believe mentally Jesus is the Lord. You believe Christian teaching to a degree, but you've not worked it out. You've not put it into practice. He says, so it's dead, has no value. And Paul believed the same thing. Paul believed grace was obeying righteousness. It's very simple. Obeying sound teaching is what he meant. Having moral principles, being pure in your morals and upright. That's what it meant. That's what faith was. Faith was never meant to cover sin and license sin, and it's never going to do it. Now we can go into chapter 2, verse 1. So after he tells them what the false teachers are like, he's exposed exactly what they are and how they're doing it. But he says something interesting in chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, okay, as for you, he's mainly referring to you teachers and ministers and you mature in the Lord. This is what he means. You in the fellowship, you Christians, there's another standard for you. Speak the things which are fitting or proper for sound doctrine. Well, again, we've nullified another great percentage of professing teachers, for they're not doing that. They're teaching everything but sound teaching. Sound teaching reproves, corrects, and instructs. Worldly, carnal, backslidden, so-called Christians, they're not anymore, don't do this. See, they don't like that. Sound teaching upsets them because it requires them to repent and get right, and they would rather dance around it. So as the apostle told us, they'll gather teachers to tell them what they want to hear. So that's where we're at. That's why the majority of professing Christianity have false teachers and hirelings, and they're doing what the people want as a whole. So they're both responsible. And as Jesus said, leave them alone. They'll both fall in the ditch. See, because they want it. They don't want truth. So anyone who falls into, a true Christian, into carnality, see, we can fall into actions, but he's talking about lifestyle. If you continue in carnality, worldliness, lukewarmness, you can't remain a Christian. He's already gave his evaluation on this. And what's the solution is to come back to sound teaching and to obey it. And see, they don't want to do that. And that's the masses of them. So the apostle speaks about false teachers, shepherds and ministries or ministers. Yet you are different. You are to speak and act properly. You are to teach what is right for sound, practical teaching and living. Ever learning scripture, yet not obeying it is useless. That's the age we live in also. The apostles said they will be ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So we will have mega churches and massive denominations and everything that the people want because they like to be religious. But being carnal, worldly, and lukewarm negates, nullifies, cancels out true Christianity. See? People can do good things from their mind. But as we've said, an evil tree cannot really produce good fruit. See, that's why the tree has to be changed. The branch has to be changed. It has to have the life of Christ renewing the mind and spirit, and it has to have the Christian consenting to it. See, his will is never altered. He has the ability to yield, or he can yield to the flesh. It's not ever taken from him. That's why so much of the apostolic teacher always appeals to the Christian's will. Never assumes they can do these things on their own. Never says it's all Christ and you don't have to do nothing. See, these are doctrines of demons. They profess to glorify God while they insult him by living carnality and worldliness. See? That's why up in the verse he called them detestable. They're detestable to sound doctrine, but they're detestable, abominable to the Lord himself. He despises it. He despises what they teach. He despises the false teachers. See, he can do that and produce wrath and still have good intentions. The love of God, he can still be benevolent and wish that they repent and give them opportunity. But the one who does not turn to the Lord and follow the Lord, Jesus said the wrath of God remains on that person. So that blows a lot of people's theology about what the love of God is. The love of God is not covering sin. See, it's not excusing it. But that's the concept of most false teachers, that God will wink at everything and he understands and he'll always forgive. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so we can live our life here and not worry about anything. It's not based on sound teaching. Okay. And so as we've said so many times, not much in this world is true and sound when it comes to Christianity. So we are in an age similar and coming to a Lot and Noah. And that meant a very, very few came to the Lord. Okay. the time of falling away from faith and Christianity, we've entered that. We're there, and it's going to get darker. Therefore, if we who are sound and mature, if we can't discern these times, we cannot be led of the Lord. If we cannot discern these, we will be led astray by false teachers and prophets. So I can say my and any teacher or minister's main duty and ministry is to remind people of this and give them repeated warnings and admonishments to stay with Christ and be obedient in this dark time. That's why the Church of Philadelphia said, hold on to your crown. Don't let no one take it. See, because during the falling away, and see, he's not talking about falling away from denominations. They'll be there. They're full of hundreds of millions of people. He means falling away from true Christianity. See, that's what's happening. So even that which was sound is slipping and regressing. There's no teaching in the Word that at this time we're going to have a worldwide revival. It's going to get darker and darker until the Lord puts a stop to it. Through judgment, he'll change the systems. So the Christian now is to stay in the Word of God if nobody else does. Serve the Lord if his neighbor doesn't. Be faithful to the Lord regardless. Stick with sound doctrine, sound teaching, and let no one rob you of your Christianity. See, that means your crown. If they cause you to be led astray and you start listening to what's popular and what the majority of the people are saying, then you'll fall away and you'll be judged with the wicked. See, that's what will happen. So it's the Christian that's being warned. Hold on to your crown. And you cannot do this if you're not sound in Scripture. If you're not getting sound teaching, then you better be laboring in the Word of God, because that's the only way you're going to be corrected, warned, and reminded of where we're at, and that you're in a warfare, and it's getting worse and worse, but that we don't have to fail as an individual, even if the city light goes out, even if most of what's called the church, the city on the hill, has gone out, the candles are to remain. See, Noah and Lot were candles. They were individuals that held on when the world didn't. Okay? So there is great delusion and darkness at our doors. Okay? As we said in the seventh church of Revelations, Jesus is standing outside knocking to get in. He's removed the lampstand as a whole. He's not there. He's not running it because they are unrighteous. He said they're naked. They're blind. And yet they were saying, oh, we're wonderful. We don't have need of anything. See, because they're speaking from a materialistic state. They're speaking from a self-seeking state. They were content seeking their own life and happiness and had no comprehension of anything spiritual, and therefore they were naked. To be naked is to be sinful and wicked before the Lord. Now let's take a break here.